But you had to treat life like a bag of popcorn, and we're all kernels in the bag. Like, kernels pop at different times. Mm-hmm. You got to treat that as people. Like, people have their big moments at different times.
And you go to, you're on a team with a future, two future NBA players. Yeah. What's it like being on a team with a guy who's of that caliber?
My only way of me getting offers is going and playing my role, hitting threes and playing defense. There's dogs everywhere. Like, you can't go in that mindset like, yeah, I'm that guy. But when there's guys everywhere, I'm that guy's everywhere. So you just got to go. I'm like, okay, what can I do to be a better version of myself and help actually help my team win?
What's up, y'all? Welcome back. Ship Across the Border.
My name is Max. I'm here with Chris. And today we have on another one of our teammates, my teammates, Tajay Green.
What's up?
Who's also been some teammates with some pretty high level cool people that we're gonna get into in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
It's like croutons in a soup.
Don't turn down any opportunity, whether it's a camp, a clinic, because you never know literally who's watching.
Make your own decision and stick with them and know they're the right decisions, right? And even if they aren't right, don't regret them.
He didn't know creatine existed. He got some creatine, he's like, oh, yeah. Lift heavy weight.
Ship across the border.
I ship across the border.
Ship across the border, man.
Welcome back to Ship Across the Border.
I just learned 2.5 seconds ago your last name's Green. I didn't know that until right
fucking. A lot of elite hoopers have last name Green in the league. There's hella hoopers who have last name Green.
I can think of one off the top of my head.
Jalen Green, Danny Green. So many.
My professor thought me and Ian were related.
You mean Ian?
Yeah, because his last name's Green. Mm-hmm. Like, she came to me. She was
Ian
like,
Green?
Yeah, she was like, oh,
the are most elite hoopers. The most elite hoopers,
but yeah.
Yeah, so kind of want to get to know your story a little bit. So, how do you start hooping?
All right, so basically, family's from Jamaica, so.
Oh, and he's Canadian too. I forgot to introduce him with
what
that.
What the fuck?
He's from London, Ontario.
Yeah, I was born where they came to. Look, it's funny. It's a funny story. My mom's water broke in the airport on the way to Jamaica.
So you had
to
from London.
Yeah. So like,
wow.
I was born there, and
how
then
did
when
I not
when I was old enough to travel, like, mom went to Jamaica, lived there until like I was 8, and then went to New York for like a year, and then went to Florida. So basically, my cousin is really like the one that started off with basketball. Ryan, his name's Ryan Reed. Played for FSU. He got drafted, actually. Okay, did one season in OKC, then had a contract switch to the Pacers, never went through, got out the league. Now he's played overseas in Japan. So, like,
Ryan Reed?
Yeah, Ryan Reed. Okay. So when I found that out, and, like, when I was old enough, like, oh, damn, like, I want to play basketball, I looked up to him, and my mom was like, yeah, do what Ryan did. And then, so I just started.
Did you ever actually, like, talk to him and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I met him because it's distant relative. So, like, I met him 3 or 4 times when I was little. And then, like, now in high school, I met him one time. We sat down. He was like, yo, what's your plan? And, like, I told him. I brought my journal, showed him right there. I written down. Like, he told me what's wrong with it, what I have to do better, and, like, what it takes to actually be, like, an elite hooper.
I want to loop back. So, wait, after you were born in Canada, have you ever been back since?
No.
Damn. You got to come back, bro. I'll show you around.
Chris actually lives relatively close to London. My brother goes to school at Western Ontario.
I was going to go to Niagara. But
that's not close to London, but that's still in Canada. I mean, depending on which one you go to, there's Canadian and US ones.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to ask you, so I know that you play, so Tajay played for DME Academy, which is a prep school in Florida, and he was teammates with Keegan and Chris Murray, who are both in the league now. Keegan Murray could potentially be an all-star in a few years. He's sick. And I kind of just want to know what it was like being like, I guess, I don't want to say like second fiddle, but like obviously you're on a team with a future, two future NBA players. Yeah. What's it like? What's like the dynamic like? Is like there a lot of coaches like favoritism? Is like what's it like being on a team with a guy who's of that caliber?
I'll be honest with you, if you were to be there and see Keegan and Chris, you'd be like, yo, who the hell are these guys? Like, they're just tall and just skinny, like twigs. You never knew like they're gonna be NBA level talent. And the one thing about Keegan and Chris, they're always mysterious. So they always spoke like in a monotone voice. Like, they're just like, we're boring. Like, they didn't want to, like, go out with parties with us and none of that. So, like, you will see them work out in the gym here and there. but like you just never really saw them like with the whole group as a team going out and stuff. Like only when we're on trips.
So were they killing at that point?
Yeah, like so Keegan was averaging 22 a game and Chris was right behind him with 21. But what's funny is Chris was the better brother.
You think in high school
Chris was like better? Chris was left.
Are they the same age? Are they like twins?
Yeah, they're twins. So at the time, they already had the Iowa offer. Like their dad played there, their mom ran track there, and their little sister at the time was in eighth grade already with the offer. So like it was surreal seeing the Iowa head coach come into our practice and watch us. We're thinking like, yeah, everybody get an offer. After practice, like, oh no, we're here for Keegan and Chris. So like in that moment, like hooping with them, it was like, okay, yeah, we're all 15 guys hungry to get a D1 offer. We're all getting offers, everyone's hooping, but you just never like in that moment you're like, yeah, he's going to the league. You just might have thought like, okay, yeah, he's gonna kill in Iowa. He's gonna kill in the conference. But you just never really thought like, yeah, he's going to the league.
There, like coaches like favoritism or like was he allowed to like get away with shit that like
I'm not gonna lie, they treat them like gods.
Mm. Yeah.
They treat him like yeah. every day we walked into the gym, like we had this one lady, Haley, which is the wife to one of the head coaches who owns like the whole thing. Like she's like, oh yeah, when you guys make it to the league, I'm gonna get a house, I'm gonna come out all the games. Like they can come to practice late. I remember they were late at 6 a.m. lift one time. And like the punishment for that was like 255s, which is like two suicides back to back. Nothing. They're like, oh, don't worry.
Was that frustrating?
It really wasn't. At first it was like, damn, like, what's up? But we just realized like
there's levels of shit.
Yeah. At the moment, like they're the face. Like at the time, you thought Michi, because I played with Michi too, you thought he was gonna be the face, but like when he really came to the games and watched, they were the face of DME. Yeah.
Other than like the obvious athletic talents and stuff like that, were there things that separated them that you think allowed them to go play in the NBA?
Not really. It's just the work ethic is crazy.
Mm-hmm. They were like, in the gym all the time?
Like all the time. So our schedule was like 6 a.m. lifts. Then we'll have like individuals. Then we'll have practice. Then go to class, eat, do whatever. Then another practice, then another individuals. After that last individual, instead of going home and resting, they were in the gym. And I think sometimes they were in the gym before 6 a.m. lifts. So it was just like that work ethic. And like going home, like obviously their dad played in Iowa. I think he played overseas. So it's just being surrounded by that constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and the physicals of like the
book. Yeah, they're like six, eight, six, seven. Well, at the time, it was like 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
But it's just like, you could just
were
tell.
Were you trying to steal ethic. Things from their game at that time? Or like how did being around them like affect you as a player?
So really, we all had different roles. Mm-hmm. Like they were like the main guys. Me, I was that guy like, okay, Tajay, go and hit two threes and play defense. And then I'll go do that and then get subbed out. And it's just like, I'm basically, I don't want to say like I'm a sidekick, but if you look
at that point,
it's like, yeah, my only way of me getting offers is going and playing my role, hitting threes and playing defense. And I just got good at that. I just got fell into that characteristic.
Before we kind of go to the rest of your like basketball and college basketball journey, mm-hmm. I watched a video last night of, it was IMG's Academy. IMG Academy is like campus.
Yeah.
And it's like ridiculous. They had pools outside. They had pools outside of the dorms. And it was like ridiculous. They had like five weight rooms and stuff. And I know that DME is a big prep school of similar caliber. Mm. Is it your guys' campus like that? Or
I'll be honest with you. So you guys are not going to believe me. At the time when we went there, before us, there was probably like only one NBA player.
At DME.
That came out of DME. That was Mansa. Or he plays for the Clippers.
Okay.
But I'll be real with you, at the time, before we had got dorm rooms the second semester, first semester, we were staying in apartments.
So you didn't have a dorm?
Yeah, it was Georgetown apartments, like right across from the Speedway. We stayed with like regular people. And it would be everyone would be like five, six apartments away from each other. And we had like one big like gym. There would be like four gyms in one building, like AAU type setup. Like we had a weight room.
Where did you go to school? Right here.
Oh, classes were in there.
So it was like sketchy. It wasn't like a real school.
So it's like take this library right here and like put two gyms downstairs, a gym upstairs, like classrooms in the middle.
So it's like a facility. Other like programs use the same facility or it was just DMEs?
Programs still use the same facility.
Like other programs.
Yeah. But basically, so kids that were come from like different countries and stuff, if they want like a more like high school type feel, they had programs that would send them to another school. And then when it came time for basketball practice, they'll come back.
Which, like, regular people can attend these academies, right? Like, IMG,
I could, like, if you didn't want to play basketball, could you still go to DME?
Yeah. Like, if you wanted to play basketball, you can go to DME. But I'll be honest with you, scholarship comes involved, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
if I was a regular student, could I go to DME Academy just to learn?
You have to, nah. Yeah, so it's a sport academy. You have to play a sport in order to go there.
Yeah. Do you feel like you got a good education?
Yeah.
At that school? Like, is there, like, legit?
It was more...
Like, are you in classes as a freshman or as a sophomore, whenever you were there, with, like, guys who are seniors, guys who are, like, post-grads, all learning the same shit?
So, it was tutors. So, like, each tutor was divided up. So, it'd be, like, one tutor for, like, five guys. So, it'd be all of us in a room like this, and it'd be, like, one tutor, like, teach us, and then we'll sit down one-on-one. So, it's, like, more one-on-one individual stuff that'll cater to you.
So, it's more like homeschooling.
Basically.
So, wait, how many people, like, went to the school in total, you think?
In total, it was probably, like, 400 of us. Mm. It was like small.
Pretty
like,
small.
Like we saw everybody.
But
like,
different sports?
Different sports. Like we had
play multiple teams in the sport.
Type. And we had like, it was like eight teams of basketball. And then we had volleyball. At the time, we only had, it was us, girls, basketball, and volleyball, and ice hockey. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, like they just added on baseball and soccer.
So now, after they've had multiple NBA players and high level guys, do they have a big
facility? Oh yeah, it's still the same thing, but they added on like dorms. They have like hella turf fields. It's basically like a mini IMG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That's wild.
So then after you graduate there, mm-hmm. so me and Chris do research for every podcast, and we mm-hmm. found that you went to Weber.
Yeah.
So you spent some time at Weber, mm-hmm. and me and Chris were curious. So mm-hmm. at Madai, as freshmen, we both spent time on the development team mm-hmm. at Madai, and how that kind of was like, it was the same team. It was like the same roster.
Yeah.
But just the guys, for example, on this team, it would be mm-hmm. like the guys who have jerseys but don't get it much, and then like the practice players type of thing played in those games, mm-hmm. which honestly would definitely benefit the team and me being one of those players, and I'm sure you as well.
Yeah.
But it seemed like you were in a similar position at mm-hmm. in Weber.
So the with Weber, so going into my college season before I got hurt, mm-hmm. so I had the Weber offer, and it was the only offer at the time. Like coach was like, yeah, come, I want you. So I went there, and at the time he had like some self-doubt in his head. He was like, yo, is this the same kid who I recruited? So he was like, look, I'm going to give you some time on the developmental team and see how you work. So I played two games, and the two games I played on the Devo team, the first game I had 22, and the second game after that I had like 18. And he was like, okay, I'm going to bring you up. And after that, I went up to the main team, and I didn't see the court at all until like the second semester when the grad guard got hurt and the senior guard got hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's when he's like, okay, I need you. And from there, I started averaging 12. And then, so, you know, exit meetings came. He was like, look, I like what you did for the program, but we're bringing in some Division I guys. And if I'm being honest, you might not play over them. So at that time, like, I'm hot-headed. I'm a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm hot-headed. I'm like, yeah, you're just going to give up on me like that. I came in and averaged 12 for you on the main squad. So it was just like, for you to drop me back down like that, so that's like a kind of like a stab in the back. So after that, I left. Mm-hmm. And then I went to, Tacoa. Yeah. I went to that... Yeah. These small D2 in Georgia.
Yeah. And how was that experience? Because did you end up playing on the main team there? Because when we did some stuff, we found that you also had some time on the development team there as well.
Yes. Yeah. I played on the main team there. So I came in with some issues, like just family issues. So I need some time to myself. Played on the main team there. And then I decided to redshirt because a lot of stuff was going on back home with family. And then was still practicing, still on the main team. Just still just sitting on the bench, just dressed out and like not playing. It was just like I'm in the bench in like my hoodie, got my ready, I'm ready to get in. Just mm-hmm. never got that chance. Mm-hmm. And then when he did give me the chance, I went in, I had like eight. And then I thought like, yeah, things are starting to turn around. And then boom, a lot of stuff from back home came, hit me. Like it was tough. It was rough.
Did you play any development games for Tacoa? Mm-hmm. Do they have a development team?
Nah, it's just one main team.
You think the time that you spent on the development team at Weber helped you to develop as a player, or was it just like reps for you?
It was just reps, really. It was just like, it was just showing like, okay, I was hurt. Let me get that mindset. Like, I'm like not nobody. Like, I'm somebody. Mm-hmm. So it's really like me coming in and dropping like 20 ball and then coming in again. It's just like, yeah, I'm him.
Because we had a guy, Deshaun Ashley, who played on the main team. Shout out Day. He wasn't getting many minutes. Yeah. And then they dropped him down to the development team, and he came out and dropped like a 30, 10 and 10. He was like, nah, fuck this development team shit. Like, I'm here to play basketball. And then in the second semester, he actually ended up getting like a lot of minutes, like 20 minutes a game, starting point guard. So I was just asking, because like, I think a lot of kids out there, at least from my perspective, like I know I needed those development reps. Like, there's no way you could have thrown me into a regular college basketball game. I would have looked very, very lost.
And how do you end up here?
So, okay, boom. I was at Tacoa, and we just finished off. We won our conference championship. Went to the tournament, got killed the first round, Kansas Christian. Like, absolutely killed. But we had our exit meetings, and then coach was like, how are you mentally? Like, he was just, like, reaching out, asking. I told him, like, you know, everything's fine. Everything back home is fine. But you know, I just still need some time just to think this summer, but I'm committed here. He was like, okay. And then my head coach, Coach Felder, shout out Coach Dwayne Felder, he left. He was, took on a D1 assistant job over at Mercer. He promised to take me, didn't work out. So me going back and talking to the new coach, it just was
weird. So you went to Mercer, didn't work out there.
The, yeah. And
came back to there.
Yeah. New coach is like, you left. I don't care what you did. And I don't care what ring you have here. I don't care how many minutes you got. I don't care if you didn't play. None of that. Like, you left. I just felt like, he said he just felt like, I'm not the guy to stick to, like, thick and thin. And I told him, like, that's not, that wasn't the case. I saw a better opportunity. I took the better opportunity. It didn't work out. I'm devoted. And he was like, nah, you got to go. And then so Coach Southall, I remember I emailed him and I sent him my film. And literally, like, 10 minutes later, he was like, can you get on
the call? What game did you have the film from?
I had Weber film and I had like a couple, 4 or 5 clips from Tacoma. And then I sent it to him. He was like, yo, can you get on a call right now? And then he called me. He was like, look, I like the way like you can shoot the ball. You're a really good guard. You're nitty gritty on defense. Like, I need that here. I was like, yes, sir. And then I told him like, yeah, I'm going to come. It was either that or stay home. They didn't want to stay home.
How do you kind of like your decision? Because talk about your position here and like in the future, what you want to do, and then what are your thoughts on?
So when I came here, I came in thinking like, yeah, Southall said I'm the guy.
As most people did.
Yeah. Southall said I'm the guy. I'm going to be that guy. And then it was like a little shock, like, yo, like 60 guys trying out. It was like, that's crazy. I haven't seen tryouts since like.
And there's also like.
Sophomore year
high school. You played at a high level NAIA school with high level guys. You played high level in high school. And you played at this D2 school. And you probably thought that coming down to D3, like, is beneath you a little, like in the back of your head. Yeah. And you thought there wasn't like high level dudes. And then you come here and you realize there's hoopers everywhere.
I didn't think it beneath me. Like, cause I knew that there's dogs everywhere. Like, wherever you're at, there's going to be dogs. Like, I've seen people go pro out of D3. I was just thinking like, okay, with the experience that I have and the guys I play with, I kind of like thought like, okay, yeah, I'll be like a valuable part to like the team, to like bringing the winning culture to Elms. So when I came here and I saw that, it was just like, this is crazy. All right, I'm here. Gotta stick it through. Like, people think I'm a type of person I'll run away from when things get rough. So I just wanted to prove people wrong and kind of prove myself wrong in a way. So boom, stuck it through. Put me on the practice squad. And I was like, damn, like, what's going on? Like, I was played at top levels. Like, yeah, I know I made, like, I know, like, started off rough, but I'm like, okay, it's one of those things to start off rough for a couple weeks, maybe a month, and I'll be back at the top level and I'm good, I'm hooping. Then stuck it through again. Second semester comes, it's like, damn, what's going on? And then, you know, yesterday was my first time actually suiting up.
Yeah. What was that feeling like?
Like a great accomplishment, really. It's just like seeing myself, like, yeah, all the hard work I put behind the scenes really worked off. Like, it's a new beginning. Like, I don't bring up the past. I don't bring up, oh, yeah, I played at this level. I played with this guy. I got this ring. It's just like, I'm here in the moment now.
Yeah.
So it's just really like, whatever I can do now, I'm going to do it now.
Sure.
What are you hoping for in like the next 2-3 years here at Elms to happen?
I want another ring. I don't know. I just want like, just the
feeling of winning. Yeah. Like, even those feelings after winning, so we won 4 games this year, and each that feeling we go in the locker room and everyone's jumping.
Everyone's
around
happy. Just seeing everyone smile, it's just like, yeah, that just brings so much excitement. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just love basketball so much. Mm-hmm. Just being around it so much, being around guys who I call my brothers. Like, I just love, like, the first person I met you first day here.
I think me and Pat beat you and Maine in twos.
Putting that in the air.
Pat remembers that shit. No. I think you guys started off and you were killing us. And we're like, yo, best of 7. Then I think me and Pat won like 3 or 4 in a row.
We won 2 in a row. I'm like,
they won loud 2 in a row, and then we ended up winning since then.
It was like, yeah, I'm done. All right. And he's like, best of 7. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna kill this real quick. You work out, and it's just like, damn, they came back. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't remember. I think it was tied 3-3.
Speaking of Maine, what is your relationship in Maine with London like? Because I don't really know the backstory of how you guys knew each other before you came here and all that.
So Maine, when I first got to Florida, I always played up with AAU teams and stuff. So I met Maine, and then I looked at him like as an older brother. So through that time, like, he's just always been there.
How old is Maine?
Maine's 23.
And how old are you?
21.
Okay.
So, like, I always just, like, looked at Maine as an older brother. Mm-hmm. So, it's just, like, wherever I was, Maine was there. Or so, it was just, like, we hooped together. Mm-hmm. And London, I knew of London back home, but like me and him never really talked because he went to like school on the other side of the city.
Yeah.
But I met him again, went to DME, and I kind of like got to know him more as a person because we lived together in the same apartment. Mm-hmm. So after a while, I was like, all right, like this is you. Like this is how you act. So they had put London on the lowest team at DME, but like I knew he wasn't that type of player. Like he's better than that. And then he worked his ass off and he became on the highest team with us. So just being around him and seeing how hard he worked is like, it pushed me. It's like, okay, if he works that hard, I'm not work harder than that. Mm-hmm, sure. So being around him kind of pushed me. With Maine, it's just like every time we work, we go home, we work out together. It's just like he pushed me to be a better person, and I pushed him to be a better person.
So them leaving, because obviously the situation didn't work out here for whatever reasons. And how did that affect you? Because like you came here with basically knowing two guys, and now those two guys kind of dip. Yeah. I know for me personally, the only person I came here knowing is Chris and Ian. Mm-hmm. And if Chris and Ian both left, then that would affect me mentally in some sort of way. How's that?
So really, it's just really like a, like I said before, everyone knows me as like, if when things get rough, they think I'm going to curl up and just go away. I was just tired of that connotation with my name. So it's just like, I just stuck it through. And with them leaving, like I miss my bros dearly, but I have Key and Aaron. Like they're like my brothers. Like when you see me, you see Key and Aaron. When you see Key and Aaron, you see me. Like, it's just like, it's a brother relationship. Like my own mom made him basically. Sure. So like just them leaving, it was, you know, it's kind of rough at first, but it's just like, okay, life still goes on. I chose to stay here, so I'm going to stick it out here.
I respect that big time.
Yeah.
When you look back at, like you said, some of these rough moments where you didn't curl up and you decided to push forward, what was the sort of like, if you can think back, like why you kept going through these moments?
Really, my mom. My mom had me when she was 16. Mm. So it was just like a single mother in Jamaica, like a third world country. It's just like, that's tough. So it's just really like what made her keep going. Mm-hmm. So I just, like, every time like things get rough, I think about my mom. I think about everyone that doubted me, like, oh, they were like, oh, you never made the high school team, made a high school team. Oh, you never get a college offer, got a college offer. Oh, you're not going to play at your college. I'm averaging 12 as a freshman at a high level in AI. Oh, you're never gonna win at the college level. I won a ring at the college level. And then going back home, oh, you're not going to the league. You're not going overseas.
Stay tuned. To
be continued. like it's just keep going. It's like the thought of everyone hating. And the thought of everyone doubting me, it just keeps me going, like, okay, watch. I'm going to prove y'all wrong. You think I can't do this? Watch, I'm going to do it.
You said Jamaica, too. We kind of skipped over this. It's like, were you playing basketball in Jamaica?
So, really fun fact, I played for the national team down in Jamaica. Mm. But
like, where?
So, this is academy. It's phase one academy. Because basketball is not really big in Jamaica. Yeah. If you look at Jamaica, it's track. So, a lot of legends that came out of Jamaica that went to the league, that have Jamaican background, they came back and made a phase one academy. And then we have a coach, you know, believe it or not, the Jamaican national team head coach is from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Coach Phil. Coach Ray Turner. So he came down, he reached out, he saw me at the phase one academy. He's like, yeah, I'd like to bring you to training camp. Brought me to training camp.
What is training camp for, like the Olympics training camp?
Like just national team, like two like national, like against like national tournaments and stuff. So like we'll go like, you know how in soccer they have the CONCACAF Cup, all these things, and they have the World Cup. Like with FIBA basketball, they have all these different tournaments. Mm-hmm. So like it was like a tournament with like all the islands with Haiti, DR.
So like one of those
type. Yeah, of one of those type. Of
like, you know, like the Global Jam is.
Yeah.
Like I know some guys who play on the Global Jam team. Like those guys aren't like the same guys that are going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's like there's different levels to the.
Yeah,
it's
like so this whole level is like it's a big leap. I'm not one of the guys going to the Olympics. I'm like one of those guys like, hey, you represent your country in this tournament.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
So yeah. But at the time I was like 18, 19 on the team with guys who were 28, 30. So it's just like a whole different level of basketball. So like basketball in the States is like an early leap. But going back to your country thinking like, okay, yeah, I played basketball in the United States. Like I'm that guy. And going back and seeing the talent level back home is like, yo, this is, yeah, this is like, this is crazy. And like seeing talent levels with all the other countries like, yo, there's dogs everywhere. Like you can't go in that mindset. Like yeah, I'm that guy. When there's guys everywhere, I'm that guy's everywhere. So you just got to go and like, okay, what can I do to be a better version of myself and help actually help my team win?
So every episode, we kind of have the last guest write down a question for the next guest, not knowing who it was. Yeah. So the question that was left for you is, what would you do to make the Elms men's basketball team better?
I like that question. I like that a lot. one thing I'll do, me personally, that I'll do to make the team better. It's just more team bonding, really. Because after practice, we don't really see each other. Like, as a group, like, we'll see each other in the calf and stuff, but we don't really sit down like, hey, guys, let's go bowling. Hey, guys, let's go do this. Like, let's go catch a Celtics game or something. So it's being, like, more team-oriented, having more trust for one another and building that bond. And also, like, just more individual work, more just working out on your own as group sessions, lifting sessions. Just like,
yeah, I think we need a lift off season. Yeah. Like, hopefully with Coach P, hopefully you put some...
Put 90-pound dumbbells on the incline.
Hopefully you put some words to action.
Yeah. Make a schedule or something. Yeah. But, like, just more, like, stuff that we can do together as a team. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's working out, going out as a team, just more team-oriented stuff.
Is that one of those things, because you played for a team that won a chip, you think that's one of the things that separated that team from, like, the not-so-good teams?
Most definitely. Like, bro, wherever we were, there's like 10 of us. Mm-hmm. We rolled in a pack. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, it's the basketball team. And we were doing stuff like 6 a.m. yoga. Then we have two groups do lifts. And then after that, practice. And after that, individuals. Mm-hmm. And after that, repeat the whole thing again. Even on game days, we had lifts and yoga. So it was just like, just seeing people like early in the morning, grumpy, like seeing who you really are when you first wake up. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay. It's just like, we were always around each other, no matter where we were. Like, even on weekends, in the off season, we went to, like, or before the season started, we were at UGA football games. So it was just, like, being with just, like, 3-4 hours at a football game. You don't even like football. So it was just, like, being around guys for a whole bunch of times. Just, like, yeah, this is a brotherhood right here.
One of the things I want to do after, like, this college is over, even soon, hopefully, is, like, become a basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And you've played for a couple of programs at this point. I'm wondering if you could set aside like a few things that you think were made coaches successful.
A few things that make coaches successful, I'll say, is being willing and being open to feedback from their players, because you're only as good as the people that play for your team. So that's really like the one thing, just being open to new things, being open from advice from other coaches, players, parents, and not letting that rule you, but bringing it in like, okay, I got that in the back of my mind. I'm like, incorporate that, what we're doing.
And was there like a coaching style that you preferred over other ones? Like, do you like being out that? Do you like being pulled to the side, like, yo, don't do that? Or like, is there like a preferred coaching style you have? Like, would you rather have like 50% yelling, 50% like pull you aside, tell you what's wrong? Or would you just have like 100% yelling? Or
so I've only seen, well, actually, I've seen two coaching styles. The first one is just like, I don't care what you do. This is open gym, go have fun. And the second one, actually, like being
I'll
that,
say
yeah, being that DME, being that Weber, is like, I'm gonna hold you accountable. Kind of know the type of player you are. So, like, I like the, I'm going to hold you accountable. I know the type of player you are, because, like, it gives you, like, a sense of hope. It's like, okay, I know if my teammates aren't trusting me, like, I know my coach trusts me. He's going to push me to be the best version of myself. And if I'm having doubts in my mind, I know I have people behind me that's going to push me and want to see me be better and continue to be better.
Was that your first contact with college basketball? Was the coach that was lax, like, he didn't give a fuck? Or was that the second one?
The second one, well, really, my first contact with college basketball was, like, really DME, because they set it like a college environment.
And was that coach like, yelling at you or not?
Oh, he was on me heavy. Bro, like, yo, like, yelling in my face, like, what are we doing? Matter of fact, you don't want to be here. Go sit down. You're not part of this team no more. I'm like, yo, what I do? And it was like, at the time, like, I'm a hothead. So I'm yelling back at him. I'm like, yo, coach, like, you're not a real coach with the whoop. And then, like, when I sat down, I really realized, like, why he's doing it. Mm-hmm. I apologize. Like, look, coach, like, you want me to be a great basketball player. And I see that. So you're pushing me to the limits that you know I can take. So I'm going to continue to work hard and continue to be there for the team, be there for you. Mm-hmm. And, like, he sat me down. He's like, yeah, I think you're a hell of a player. Like, right now, you're like a – he told me. He was like, right now, you're like a low D1 guy, high D2 guy. But then, like, in my mind, like, no, bro, I'm high major. I'm going. You feel me? I'm going to a blue blood. So my goal was to prove him wrong. Mm-hmm. And then that just really, like, kept me going, like, what really I love. Mm-hmm. He always pushed me to be the best person I can be.
Yeah, because, like, at Madire, old school, before it closed down in Buffalo, our coach was, like, almost, I would say, 95% yelling. Like, he would be on everybody. But I kind of got accustomed to it by the end of the year. I was like, if I'm ever going to become a coach, I would try to mix it like 75-25, but I think there's a necessary level of yelling that has to happen, because otherwise the players sort of have like a disconnect. It's like, yo, you're my buddy. And it's like, he would have like really good relationships off the court with his players, but then when it was time to fucking work, it was like, yo, we're not laughing, we're not doing any dumb shit, like, we're here to fucking get better and all that shit. And that I kind of love that environment now, and I think I want to recreate that when I have a basketball team.
Yeah. Thank you. Have anything else?
I kind of want to go back to the NBA thing too, because like being around high-level NBA guys, I've never been in a gym with NBA guys before. I've never seen what an NBA practice looks like, any of that stuff. Did it give you an insight to like what it would take to become an NBA level basketball player and what you had to do?
It's a whole lot of just believing yourself. That's really all it comes down to. You just got to believe in yourself, got to lock in. And a lot of not comparing yourself to. So like my friend always told me like, you got to treat life like a bag. Like it's going to be sound so corny, but you have to treat life like a bag of popcorn. And we're all kernels in the bag. Like kernels pop at different times. Mm-hmm. You got to treat that as people. Like people have their big moments at different times, but you can't like judge that. You can't compare that to your time. Your time's going to come, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 2 months from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Just don't stop moving. Mm-hmm. Just keep going. So like really just, this just showed me like I got to really just be there for myself. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Why stop? Because if you stop, sure. I'm closer. If I stop now, like I failed. If I keep going, I'm closer to when I just started. Mm-hmm. So just really, that's really it.
Just keep going. Outside of basketball, what are you taking here as a major?
Psychology.
So what do you plan on doing
after the basketball? Sports psychologist. Everyone is a sports psychologist. That goes back to like Weber. Like, boom, I told you I got injured. And then I'm coming in like, yeah, people don't believe in me. Like, I went from having D2, D1 offers to like at an NAI, I'm thinking like, yeah, I failed. But it's just like, I remember a sports psychologist, she sat down with me and it's just like, yeah, you got to just keep doing this. We did exercises. We did a whole bunch of like mental block things. And it's just like seeing me go from like not playing at all to on the main team to averaging 12 a game. It just like just took off. And just like the little things like she told me, I still say to this day, like, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I'm worthy. Like I go back to like how I started and where I'm the end goal, really. So really, that's like really my goal, is to be a sports psychologist, help athletes that are in my position or in a totally different position. Because you never know, people are going through their own mental battles. So I just really want to help.
Did you ever consider being a coach?
I thought about it. I like my hair too much. I don't want to be bald.
Why do you have to be bald to be a coach?
All coaches are bald. it first starts off with long hair, and the next thing you know, the low cut.
You'd be yelling.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to lie. If I was a coach, I'd be fucking mad stressed. But even watching your guys' game, I started screaming and shit.
I'm telling you, it starts off with the long hair, low cut, and next thing you know, bald. You just got to let it go.
None of our coaches with Madeira were bald. And Coach Hack was more stressed than anybody.
If they're not bald.
Is he bald? They all had short hair,
but they weren't bald.
Damn, yeah.
It's on the verge of being bald. Then.
Yeah.
Yo, I couldn't
imagine. Either that or a heart attack.
Coach Jack was bald. That's a goofy look, bro. That's a heavy
he was,
look.
He had a buzz cut.
He looked goofy as shit.
So what?
If you look at every coach, like
every single coach,
if I bring up every coach that coached me, they're either bald or gray hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the gray hair, like during their 30s were gray hair.
No, the longer you're in the system, the longer gray hair.
So it's like, bro, like it's stressful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think before we end it, we like to just ask the guests same question, which is pretty standard for the SATB pod, which is what's one piece of advice you'd give your younger self? Maybe it's when you entering to college and you're struggling with the mental. Maybe it was in high school. What's one piece of advice you give your younger self to help you keep pushing, make college basketball?
The same thing I said, just keep going.
Sure. I was going to say like that analogy could have ended it off right there. That was a good place to end. But
like, yeah, just keep going. You never know when your time is. I said, just don't stop. Like you see me, like me, for example, came in here thinking I was the guy. Mm-hmm. Practice squad. And next thing you know, six games left in the season. I get a jersey. Just make the most out of the time you have. Keep going and keep working.
Sure.
You just never know.
Sure.
So, yeah. That's awesome. Really it.
Thank you for coming on, my boy.
Appreciate it, family. Appreciate it.